All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we celebrate the goodness of who you are. And we praise you, we exalt you. In your name we pray. Amen. Usually I preach out of the New King James Version of the Bible, but this week, after reading through it a couple times, I got lost in what I was reading. And so we're going to look at it in the New Living Translation of the Bible. So if it's a little bit different than normal, you'll know why. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 1. There we go. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So this letter is to us as well, as believers, okay? It's not for unbelievers, okay? Most of Paul's writing is to the church and the believers in Christ. So when he's writing, he's not writing to the world, he's writing to churches. He's writing to believers for that. Verse 3. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all persecutions and hardships you are suffering. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom, for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. Verse 7. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who do not know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. Verse 10. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe, and this includes you, for you believe that we told you about him. Verse 11. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because the way you live, you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll see if we get through the whole chapter or not. But we're going to back up to verse 3. It goes, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. My heart as a pastor is to see your faith grow and your love for one another grow. If we can do those two things, we got a good foundation to grow on. Because when our faith is growing, that means we're learning, we're working it out, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So they're applying, not just listening, but they're also applying God's Word to their life. See, so many times we hear things, but we don't apply it to our lives. It'd be like if I gave Aurora instructions, go clean your room, and then she comes back, I go, did you clean your room? She goes, no, but I heard what you said, and I memorized what you said, but I didn't do what you said. See, the thing about it, if you told your child to go clean their room, and they came back, and you asked them, did you clean your room? They go, no, I memorized what you said. I guess that's good enough. See, there's nothing matter with memorizing God's word. Actually, it tells us to memorize his word in Psalm 119. So you what? So I can know what it means, it says? No, so you can obey. He goes, says, memorize his word so you will not sin against him. See, memorizing God's word, this isn't just for, wow, I got a lot of God's word in me. And we should memorize God's word. I struggle with that. Okay, I choose not to do it. It's a choice. But the thing about it, just because you memorize God's word doesn't mean you're a faithful Christian. Maybe you're like, oh yeah, I memorized my wedding vows. I don't remember what they are anymore. Anybody remember what their wedding vows are? Okay. But how many of you have been faithful to the one you married? See? Just because you might not memorize your wedding vows, but you've been faithful, that's what God's after. So here he is. Paul's writing goes, I'm boasting about you. I'm praying about that. I thank God because your faith is flourishing. You're growing. And the love for one another is growing. See, the thing about this is that when you love one another, you grow. It doesn't mean you always get along. Do you and your spouse always get along? Probably not. How about you and your children? Probably not, especially when they get older and they start doing their own thing. But you can still love them. In spite of all the heartache and disappointments, you can still love them. You can still hog tie them and slap them if you need to. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. You know, I think it's funny when people say, well, you can't pray for me. What? I think I can. You can't stop me. And so because your faith is flourishing, you love one more. Then verse 4 says, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and your faithfulness in all persecutions and hardships you are suffering. Paul's going around to other churches and saying, they're enduring persecution and hardship. Paul's going around telling other people, look at their endurance, what they're going through. You know, a lot of times we're like, there's major persecution that's happening over in Africa. But did you know there's persecution in America too? People say, well, that's soft persecution. No, it's still persecution. That's what he's saying. It's a little white lie. No, it's still a lie. See, the thing about it, our persecution comes differently. Our persecution where they say, just keep your religion to Sunday mornings. Don't talk it. When family get together, what two things you don't talk about? Well, they always say, religion and politics. Did you know if you go and be part of a Muslim family, politics and religion are the same thing, and they expect you to talk about it. If you go over to a Muslim nation and you say you're a believer in Christ, they expect you to talk about Jesus. They might not like it, but here, well, you can't talk about Jesus at school. Who says? Well, you know, we don't accept that. See, that's persecution. We just take it out loud. It's just part of this. Now we call it cancel culture. Well, we're going to cancel them because they're saying hateful things. Up in Quebec, Canada, there's a politician who's introducing a bill into law that they're going to omit part of the Bible because it's offensive to other lifestyles. And if you have one of the Bibles that have the full, complete Bible, and if you preach from it or teach from it or even have it, you're going to get put into jail. That's persecution. Where they say you cannot. Now there's laws in America and even in Minnesota where they say that you cannot counsel people on a homosexual lifestyle because you're being mean.
But if a person's struggling with that lifestyle, you can counsel them to do whatever you want to their bodies at any age without parental consent. See, when you speak up for things that is for the Bible, it's called, and they try to shut you down, it's called persecution. When you go to the grocery store, you have as much right to speak up about Jesus than as anybody else about their religion. You have much right to pray for people on the streets as anybody else. I'm telling you, persecution might not be coming with our heads chopped off yet, or stones thrown at us yet, but when you stand up for righteousness and holiness, and they tell you to be quiet, that's persecution. And guess what? Paul is saying, look at them thrive in persecution. Did you know without persecution we get lazy? The church has an American church, the devil doesn't want to persecute us. He wants us to keep us lazy. He doesn't want us to go outside these four walls and tell people. He goes, keep it to yourself and everything. You won't rock the boat. See, the devil doesn't want you to go outside. He doesn't want you to share your faith. He doesn't want you to encourage. He doesn't want you to pray for somebody. Because you got to keep it to yourself. And the church has gone along with it. The church has said, well, you know, yeah, I see how they're doing. Back in turn of the century, from 1800s to the 1900s, there was a movement in New York started by five businessmen, I believe. They took their lunch hour and started praying. Within a year, it went from one business in New York to a whole bunch of people gathering, up to hundreds, gathering every week during lunch to pray. See, we have great starts to great movements. But when persecution comes, we back down because we're afraid to offend somebody, hurt somebody's feelings. If I was afraid of offending somebody or hurt somebody's feelings, take this jacket off of me and let me go home and find a boat and let me go and sit on the pontoon boat and just let me rest. Because the thing about it, if I'm afraid to offend somebody, I'm in the wrong business. When you speak up for Jesus and pray in the name of Jesus, you are going to offend the world because the world absolutely hates Jesus. See, he goes, we proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and your faithfulness. Think about it. He's going around, look at their endurance. Look at their faithfulness. Look how faithful to their God. Because there's a shaking that's been taking place. And we get to be faithful to God. And the best way to be faithful to God is put your roots down and let them grow in God's word and let them connect with other trees. And now I'm saying, you ever been at a lake or an ocean where you're standing where the water comes in? And if you're standing on sand, eventually your feet will what? Sink into the sand. You won't be able to move. There's no foundation there. Wow. But man, you put a rock. If you stand on the rock and the waves come in, the rocks don't move. The waves hit it and bounce it off. And you know this. With sand and the ocean, the waves come in nice and gently unless there's a storm. In and out. It lulls you to sleep. It's peaceful. Sunshine. The seagulls trying to steal your food. Nice and peaceful. But in the sun, you stand along the rocky edges. The ocean comes, it's always beating on the rock. But the rocks never move. They stand still.
And so, Paul is going around telling other places how good and how proudly he is about God working through them. And all persecution and hardships, you are suffering. Persecution and hardship,
it's just part of life walking with Jesus. But there's a song, every day with Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before. No matter what you're walking through, a day with Jesus is sweeter than the day with the world. And every day I get closer to Jesus. Every day is sweeter with Jesus than the day before. Because he was my provider yesterday, guess what? He's going to be my provider today. If he's my provider today, he's going to be my provider tomorrow. If he was my provider tomorrow, he's going to be my provider next year. Guess what? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. How awesome is that? Well, it gets rough. Yes, but man, you can still claim that promise that Jesus is sweeter today than the day before. Because God is always there with you. And his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And then he goes, and God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. And his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. In other words, through persecution and hardship, he's getting rid of all that junk on you to make you not better, but more holy, more set apart, more like him. Be holy as Christ is holy. And so he's going to use this, and guess what? It's not our job to get back to those who are persecuting you. It's not your job. Those who persecute you, it's your job to what? To forgive them, to release them, and to what else? Bless them. And when you bless them, it's like throwing hot coal on their head. You ever bless somebody who was just irate with you? I have. And the thing about it, they're like, what? But guess what? You do it not so you throw hot coal on their head, but that's how they receive it. Because you're like, you know something? You can't bug me. Doesn't matter what you do. I'm a child of God. If you persecute me, God's going to take care of you. All I have to do is keep living for Jesus. And I'm blessed and highly favored because of who Jesus is. And because of who Jesus is, I can endure much. You think about it, in the book of Daniel, it talks about how the devil wants to wear out the saints. Many of you feel worn out right now. That's his plan. His plan is to wear you out. Going here and throw. Whoa, here I go. You're worn out, and it's the devil's plan is to either make you comfortable so you don't do anything, or make you so busy that you miss out on what God's called you to do. Either one or the two. There's times to rest. I believe in a day, once a week, to take off and not do anything. And a day is the Sabbath day, the day of rest. You basically set things aside so you can see God more. Enjoy family. Enjoy those things. Sundays are not my day of rest. Because even though I'm seeking God, I got other things I do. I take another 24 hours off. But the thing about it is that when you go through things, the devil will make you really busy or lazy. And what he'll do is, oh, you don't have time to take the day off to rest. Look at all the stuff you have to do. You can do more in 6 days than you can do in 7. I guarantee it. But you have to honor that day and give it to God. Stuff done around the house, things like that. Give it to God. Lord, you multiply my time. And so the devil's job is to make you so busy. But at the same time, when Paul's writing, and he's writing about the armor of God, what he says at the end, he goes, well, after you put on the armor of God, stand, then keep standing. Keep standing. What do we stand on? We stand on the word of God. And say, no problem. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to still believe in God over whatever else is out there.
You ever get some of these weird videos come across?
There's some weird videos out there. And if you start following them, they start taking down the rabbit hole, you're like, where is this going? And you're like, you don't know if it's AI generated anymore. If it's some kook that had a little bit too much
wrapped up stuff that they enjoy inhaling into their body. If they're just a part of a cult or whatever. But the only thing you know is true is God's word. And make sure you get one with the full word. All of it. Because there's some Bibles out there, they're changing words. They remove the blood of Jesus in it. They remove some things. So I'm going to tell you, go back to the ones that were written in the 70s and get a written word, because it's going to be easy to change digital forms of the Bible over the paper Bible. And if you have a chance, get the older paper Bible. And so the thing about it, that's what we stand on. God's word. What does his word say? His word says trust and obey. His word says my promises are for you and for your family. Salvation. And his justice will pay him back. Okay, verse 7. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who do not know God and those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. Judgment of God. It says it starts in the house of God. But he says there, the judgment of God is for those who don't believe. Would you believe this statement? Everybody that goes to church is not a Christian? Imagine that. Can you imagine? You show up to a youth camp or a ladies' gathering or something along those lines. You just show up on a Sunday morning to another church or whatever, or even this church. Not everyone might not be a believer when they walk in. Some pastors aren't believers. Just because they have a bishop or apostle or reverend or pastor or whatever title they have in front of their name doesn't mean they're a believer. Did you know I could literally go online and get a license to preach without taking any Bible classes or having any Bible knowledge? And then when I get that, I can go off and marry and bury people? So Cletus, you can become Reverend Cletus, the most holy father of them all. Just going online and, how do I become a pastor? You take a short quiz and they'll give you a card saying, here you go.
It's not ready.
But that's what they do. See, judgment is not for the children of God. Our judgment is not the world's judgment. See, the thing about it is that there's a difference that we need to go through. That for us, we're not judged by our past. Jesus took all that shame and all that. When we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and he goes, I forgive you. How awesome. He forgave you before you even asked. What do you think about that? That's what we're supposed to do with people. Already forgive them, because sometimes they won't ask. You forgive them anyways. Because sometimes they don't even know they did wrong. Just forgive them. Someone hurt you, just forgive them.
Well, Pastor, that's not right. That's what the Bible says. Forgive those who hurt you. Even if they don't come and ask for forgiveness. Forgive them. Let them go. Because if you don't forgive them, they're going to occupy a space in your head and you're going to try to get revenge. But God says, I will take care of them.
I will convict them first. You'd be amazed how many ministers have been exposed in 2024, 2025. It's amazing. It's kind of scary how many people who have been preaching the Word of God from the pulpit, where probably the Holy Spirit's probably been dealing with them, but they ignored them, but God had to expose them. See, the thing about it, we as believers are not meant for God's wrath. The devil is, and his crowd. It's not up to us to figure out who is the devil. It's not even up to us to figure out who's the Antichrist. If you're trying to figure out who the Antichrist is, you're a little focusing on the wrong thing. Let's figure out who Jesus is and go after him. Let's figure out the Holy Spirit and let's walk in his Holy Spirit. Let's stay tuned to the Bible more than like, oh, here comes the Antichrist. Trump's the Antichrist. Really? Oh, wow. Well, that's news to me. This person's the Antichrist. That person's the Antichrist. You don't know how many people I've heard has been the Antichrist since 1980s. Remember the guy that used to be the president of Russia? Gorbachev, the dude with the weird little thing? He was the Antichrist at one time. Hitler was the Antichrist at one time. People just like throwing it out there. Why don't we just stay focused on what the Word of God says? Who cares? I mean, yeah, we should know, like, hey, he's going to come in as an angel of light, so be careful. Go to the Lord, make sure it's from God. But Jesus will come. He's going to give us rest. He's going to bring judgment on those who do not know God and those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord, from his glorious power. That's sad. That's the reason why we pray for those on the cross. That's the reason I pray for my family. Lord, bring somebody into their lives that they'll know Jesus. Draw them, even if it's a bedside conversion. Even if it's the last moment before they say, I'm breathing my last breath. But give them an opportunity to come know you so they don't have to live eternity without you. And then it goes, when he comes on that day, this is what we get to do. This is what we should be doing in the meantime. He will receive glory from his holy people. Your holy people. You're holy. Holy means you're set apart. We as believers, we are set apart. We're not supposed to be like the world, look like the world, act like the world. We're not supposed to simulate into the world. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to act different. And praise from all believers. And this includes you, for you believe in what we told you about him. So, when he comes, our job even now is to give God glory. Give God glory. Give God's glory. Always give God the glory. And in the midst of it, give him praise. When you give God the glory and God the praise, all things changes. You know, just like with Gene and I on Friday morning, midday, we started praising God and he entered the room. See, when you start praising God and give him all the glory, he enters the room. So many times our worship songs are about us. Oh Lord, I love you. Which is good. But Lord, I give you the glory. Give God all the glory for what? All the great things he has done. You know, I can hear the orchestra striking up the band now. Give God the glory for the great things he has done. We get to start that now. We don't have to wait until he comes back. We can give him the glory. I don't have anything. Well, do you have clothes to wear today? Mm-hmm. Y'all look like you're pretty well clothed with me. You even got winter clothes. Imagine that. Here in Minnesota, we got like three wardrobes. We got our summer wardrobe, we got our winter wardrobe, and we got
The change of season from morning to night wardrobe. You can start out in one outfit and by the end of the day be in another one, or vice versa. But the thing about it, you can thank God. Even if you only have one pair of shoes, you can still thank God for those pair of shoes. You can give God the glory. Because when you start giving God the glory and God the praise, He will show up every single time. But when we start complaining, Lord, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have... He won't show up to complainers. He'll show up to praisers. And when you start praising God and giving Him the glory, He will come in and sit in the presence. And He goes, ah, here I am. And then you get a peace. You're like, yes, Lord, yes, all things are possible. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for all You've done.